beginning of Parshas Bo, the Mefarshim find the expression difficult, Bo El Paro. They should say, Lech El Paro. Whenever I send the Shliach to do something on my behalf, so I don't go there. If I'm going to be there, I didn't need the Shliach. Bo El Paro means, I'm going to be there, so come to me. So what does he need a Shliach for? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Mefarshim pointed out. Rav Soloveitchik gave the whole drasha on it. That the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't really need any of us to do shlichas for him. He can do everything on his own. And he gives us a schus, that he makes us, he allows us to become his shutvim. Whenever we do a shlichas on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the Gemara has an expression, Shulucho Shel Olam Kimoso. So in a certain sense, we become shutvim with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So in a certain sense, we're Kimoso. On Shabbos, we had this fellow, David Lichtenstein, was here from Shabbos, a very, very colorful individual. So he is extremely successful in business. My impression is that he's honest, and he learns a lot. He knows how to learn very nice. He learned at Lakewood for many years. So he has a lot of stories. So my wife came a little late. So I couldn't make Kiddush in the morning because my wife wasn't here. So I asked him, do me a favor. Usually I say Kiddush. When I'm here, you say the Kiddush. So he said a very long Kiddush. And he explained why. Because Shulucho Shel Olam Kamaisai. So he says, the longer he says the Kiddush, he's going to be Rabbi Shechter for longer. So he told the story that Rabbi Akiva Eiger wasn't able to attend the wedding once out of town. So he sent one of the Dayanim to go to the wedding. So the Dayan stayed from the beginning till the end, all 7 hours. Why did he stay so long? When there was a wedding in town, the Dayan didn't stay so long. He stayed for 20 minutes and he left. No, but he's Rabbi Kivega now. He's a shliach of Rabbi Kivega. So he's going to be Rabbi Kivega for 7 hours. Then I had to leave. I had to make Havdalah at home. I'm on Tzoy Shabbos. So I heard he was making a long, long Havdalah. It was taking a long time. He was a shluch of Shalom Kamoisa. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. You only have the Shiras Hayam after Kriyas Yam. So why didn't they say a Shira when they left Mitzrayim? Why did they have to wait till a week later? Oz Yosha was recited on Shvi Yishal Pesach. Why didn't they say right away the day of Yitzias Mitzrayim? So he said that the Jews didn't really participate so much in the Yitzias Mitzrayim. Zon Nisim and Hashemayim. When it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so there were, the Mitzrim were behind them and the Yamsuf was in front of them. And they said, what are we going to do? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Da'abel b'nei Yisrael v'yisoh, tell them they should walk into the Yam. If they'll take the first step, let them walk into the Yam, they'll have a little Isarusa Dilatato. They'll participate a little bit in the Kriyas Yamsuf, then it'll happen. So since they became shutvim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's what they were reciting, the Shira over that. Not the Shira over the Yitzias Mitzrayim. They should have said the Shira a week before. The Shira, the excitement of the Shira was, they became shutvim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shutvim in the Geula. The Psukim, a few times it says in Parshas Bo, Koy Amar Hashem. There's a Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Matos, Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. Most of the Rashis on Chumash are either from the Chilta, or from the Sifrei, or from the Mishnais, from the Gemaras, from the Midrashim. And Rashi talks about the Dikduk, that's on his own, that's not from the Chazal. But over here, Rashi in the beginning of Matos quotes from the Sifrei, the Pasuk says, Ehadova Shatziv Hashem, about the laws of Nedarim and Shavuos. The Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu introduces his prophecies with Koy Amar Hashem in today's Sedra a few times. And the other Nevi'im also introduced the Nevuah by saying Koy Amar Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher level of Nevuah. He sometimes says, Zeh HaDover Shatziv Hashem. Why is that a higher level of Nevuah? How come sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu had a lower level of Nevuah, sometimes a higher level of Nevuah? So the Kedushas Levi explains on that pasuk, Rav Levi Yitzchak Baditshuva, usually has Chassidus and Kabbalah, that's way above my head. But over here he has something very simple. And I remember I once asked Rav Soloveitchik, it was in the middle of the summer, Parsha Matos in the middle of the summer. So we were on vacation. So yes, Rav Soloveitchik about this. So he said, yeah, all the Chachmei HaKabbalah say like that. that there was a fundamental difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Shar Nevi'im. All the other Nevi'im, that's what it says in Bahaloisch, all the other Nevi'im saw a Mara HaNevuah and a Chalom, a Chazon, and then they interpreted it using their own language. Moshe Rabbeinu also, when he got a Hayru HaShoah, and that's called Koya Mar Hashem. This is approximately what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not a direct dictation, word for word, letter for letter. The Nevi'im saw a Chazon, a Chalom, a Mara HaNevuah, and they interpreted using their own language. No two people speak exactly the same. Even if people are identical twins, each one thinks differently, they talk differently. So the Gemara says, if two Nevi'im say word for word the same thing, either one is a liar or both are liars. It cannot be that that they said exactly, they interpreted the dream. Even if they were shown the exact same dream, they're not going to use the same exact same language to interpret the dream. But when Moshe Rabbeinu was given Dinim L'Doiros, then he was given direct dictation. That's what it says in Mahal Oischa. The other Nevi'im, Amare, B'chaloyim adab b'lokein abdi Moshe pe'al pe'al dabe b'amare v'lo v'chidus. It was direct dictation, word for word, letter for letter, because the Gemara's medayik, sometimes the fact that the word is spelled mole yachoser, why you're being medayik, means we have a tradition. The Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter. So that's why in Parshas Bai, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Hoy Rasha, he's predicting the next Makkah is going to happen, Koyem HaRashem. That's a Hayrashua. Hayrashua is Koyem HaRashem. But when Moshe Rabbeinu was saying over the dinim that are binding the doors, then he got the Nevuah, direct dictation, word for word, letter for letter. That's what he says then, Zeh HaDavar Shatziva HaShem. The Pasuk says that Makkah's Bcharis occurred, Kach HaTzois HaLaila. What does that mean? So the Mishlei Melech has a Sefer on Agoda that's called Parashas Drachim. Very nice Sefer. Some of the Achronim had tainus against the first essay, the first mimer in the Parashas Drachim. The whole pilpul, whether the Obus Kodim Matan Torah had a din of Yisrael, had a din of Ben Noach. So some had tainus on the first essay, but the other essays are very nice. About Tzedakah, about Eretz Yisrael, about Melech HaMashiach. Tefillah, different essays, and he quotes, he puts together a lot of agodas, and he gives you a whole picture. So the Mishlei Melech quotes one of his rabbeim, that Chatzos Halayla, and in Yerushalayim is 7 hours before New York. As you go from east to west, Chatzos is going to be a minute later, because the earth goes like the earth, it turns on its axis, and it's twirling this way. So Chatzos is first in Yerushalayim, and then in America, New York is 7 hours later, and Los Angeles is 3 hours later, and so on. So when did Makkah's Bechoris occur? So it occurred, Chatzos, each city, Chatzos. So a minute later, Makkah's Bechoris occurred here, a minute later there, a minute later there. The whole Eretz Mitzrayim, it took probably an hour or two. You have to look on a map how much of the globe is taken up by Eretz Mitzrayim. It didn't occur in 1 second. All the Bechorim who lived on that, that meridian, what do you call the line that goes this way? There's a latitude and a longitude. So the one that goes, the lines that go this way, all the Bechorim who lived on that line, they all died the same split second. Kachatzois HaLaila. But then those who lived a little to the west, Chatzos was a minute later, a minute later, a minute later. The Pashto says that they all died at midnight. There's a mitzvah pidyon aben, zecher l'makas b'chores. That's a question, why do we only have a mitzvah zecher l'makas b'chores? The rest of makas, how come there's no mitzvah zecher l'dam tzva dea kinim morib? That's a good question. So some say that all the other makas, the Rabbeinu Soloveitchik has this in his Sefer HaChumash, all the other makas were a punishment for the Mitzrayim. They all deserved the punishment. And each part of the people was punished to the extent that he was guilty. Those who were on the cabinet, those who were on Paro's cabinet, were more guilty. Paro controlled the cabinet, so he was more guilty. The Hamayinam were less guilty. They didn't make the policy, they didn't make the decisions. Rashi says, each person was punished to the extent that he deserved. But when Moshe Rabbeinu first appeared to Paro, he says, Shalach Hassan Mi Abdoni Menach Mishalach Da'a Kionech Yehorek Is Bincha B'chei Recha. Why did he say Makas B'chayris? Should have said, I'm going to give 10 Makas, Dam Tzvadei, etc. So that's where Velvela suggested that the first 9 Makas were an Oynish for the Mitzrim. Maybe the 10th one was just to do to accomplish the Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's what I think the Kedushas Levi maybe has some suggest. Why is there only a mitzvah zecher the makas b'chayrus? Why isn't there a mitzvah zecher to dam tzvadeya all the first 9 makas? The first 9 makas were punishment, but the last one was Yitzias Mitzrayim. That was the clincher. So that's zecher the makas b'chayrus means zecher the Yitzias Mitzrayim. Doesn't mean zecher the makas b'chayrus. Zecher the Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we have the mitzvah pidyon haben. When you do pidyon haben, on Yom Lamed Aleph, Machlokes HaTanoim in the Mishnah Mechiras, we pasken on Yom Lamed Aleph. When do you do the mitzvah? Do you do it by Yom or Balayla? So there's a very old minig that's recorded. The Shach has the minig. You do Pinyin Ben by Yom. You always do Pinyin Ben by Yom. What if you have how much of a kpeda is there? Why do you do Pinyin Ben by Yom? So they give different explanations. So I think the Shach says the reason why you do Pinyin Ben Bayom because the minig is that you give a Suda. Strictly speaking, there is no Chiyab Suda on Pinyin Ben. By a Bris Mila, there's a Chiyab Suda because David HaMelech says, Sasanecha li Marsecha ke Moitzei Shol Ol Rav. And the Gemara says in Perek HaBlezer, the Mila Marsecha Shabbos, Im Rasecha, Sasanecha li Marsecha, is the mitzvah of Mila. The Gemara says, because in the Parsha in Chumash Bereshis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu he should observe the mitzvah of Mila. It says there by Yomer, it doesn't say by Daber. So that's why it's called Sasanoch Elim Rasecho. The Maimer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bris Mila. So on Mitzvah's Mila, there's a Mitzvah of Simcha, so the Kovet is Simcha. You have to have Basav Yai. You're supposed to have a Fleshig meal. You're supposed to have a Fleshig meal when you have a Bris. Now people don't make Fleshigs anymore. It's not right. They should really have people not interested in having Fleshigs so early in the morning. But they should have for those who want to have the fleshiks. Those who want to have fleshiks. The Magen Avraham quotes, what do you do if you have a bris on Friday? Are you still allowed to have fleshiks? So he quotes from the Shalom that what do you do if you have a bris in the 9 days? The minig is you don't have fleshiks. Friday, you're not supposed to have fleshiks. You're supposed to save the kovet dik and mil should be Friday night. You shouldn't have fleshiks on Friday. And a lot of places in Eretz Yisrael, they serve fleshiks for lunch. A lot of yeshivas, they serve fleshiks for lunch, not for supper. And they give fleshiks for lunch, and Erev Shabbos also. That's Kineged Adin. Says in the Magen Avraham, you're not supposed to. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Shalom. Shouldn't have a Bekobet Dikah meal on Friday. So by a Bris Mila, there's a Chiyav Suda, because of Simcha. But by Pinyin Ben, there's no simcha, it's just a mitzvah. Every mitzvah, when you put on tefillin every day, you have fleshiks, you have basav yayin. Not every mitzvah is machai, but chasen is a simcha. You have a chiyuv to have a suda, shemer brachas. But Pinyin Ben is not machai. But the meaning is you make a suda to enhance the chashivas of the mitzvah. It looks very secular. You just give a couple of dollars to the kohen. You give a gift to the kohen. You give a becher or something. That's worth 5 sloim. So it doesn't look like a mitzvah. It looks like when you put on tefillin, it's something unusual. Where tzitzis, it's the goyim are not doing that, but giving money one person to the other. People give money to each other. Goyim also give money. So we want it to look more like a mitzvah, so you make a suda. That's what that's what the Mefarshim say on Shulchan Aruch. It's only a minig to give chashivas to the mitzvah Pinyin Ben. So the Gemara says in the last Perek in Yuma that blind people that don't see the food don't enjoy the food as much as people who are able to see the food. When you see the food, your mouth starts to water, your mouth starts to salivate, and you'll enjoy the food better. So the Gemara says that just like blind people don't enjoy the food, so if you eat food at night, it's dark. So you don't see the food, so you don't enjoy it as much. So since the minig is that you have a suda, when you make a pidyon haben, you're going to have a suda by light. People are not going to see it. So that's why the minig developed, that you have pidyon haben by yom. So the Mefarshim point that, if that's the reason why, so you turn on the lights, light candles, you turn on the electric lights, and it'll be at night, it'll be just as bright as it'll be in the daytime. So you should be able to do a pidyon at ben balayla bizman hazeh. Turn on the lights and show him. So they give, if you look in the Darkei Tshuva on Hilchos Pidyon HaBen and the other, the new Svarim that they have in Pidyon HaBen, they quote a whole bunch of explanation. Additional reasons why you do Pidyon HaBen Bayom. So some write Pidyon HaBen Bayom because it's Zechan HaMakas Bchoris, Makas Bchoris took place Bayom. What do you mean Bayom? But it says Bchoris took place Vayibach Tzia Laila. So they quote the first line in Maseches Machas. Maseches Machas is a euphemism. It means Hilchos Avelus. So instead of calling it Hilchos Avelus, we call it Hilchos Machas. So Maseches Machas is not part of the Shishi Sidrei Mishnah. It was written in the days of the Goyim, like Maseches Sofrim, and Maseches Tzitzis, and Maseches Tefillah, Maseches Gerim. All the Masechtas Ketanos were composed in the days of the Goyim, and based on the brises that they had floating around. So the first line in Maseches Machas, before you get to Hilchos Avelus, first line says, Hashem hiko kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim at chatzos halayla, they were brain dead until the morning, and then they died in the morning. So the punchline of the Makas B'choris was Bayom. So that's why these Achrenim came up with this idea, that the minig was for many centuries to do Pidyon HaBen only Bayom and not Balayla, Zecha, the Makas B'chor is that it was completed by Yom. Vashem Hika called B'chor, they got sick at Chatzos HaLaila, but they didn't, they were Mefarperim, they were in the throes of death for all the hours, from Chatzos till the morning, and then in the morning, that's when they actually died. Take it or leave it. They have different reasons. If you have seven different reasons, means that they're not sure what the reason is. Everybody came up with another suggestion. Yeah. The Shaila is, let's say, there was once a Pidyon HaBen, a couple had their first boy, their first child had a boy, so they made Pidyon HaBen. So the one set of parents lived in Riverdale, one set of parents lived in Muncie. So they davened by Rabbi, those who lived in Muncie davened by Rabbi Tendler. So they decided, without consulting Rabbi Tendler, they decided, and the Yom Lamed Aleph was on Shabbos. And in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Marik, I think, the Trumas Adeshin, maybe Trumas Adeshin, that you don't do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. It's quoted both in Yeridei, Hilchos Pidyon HaBen, and Hilchos Shabbos also in Aruch Haim. It's not so muchrach. One of the Rabbanim wrote in Europe, a tshuva, the Beis Aharon, Baron Wolken, has a collection of tshuva. He learned the Valoshin. He has very nice tshuvas. So in his true is called Beis Aharon. He has on the Masechta, it's also called Beis Aharon. So he writes that it's very questionable. There was once a case that the Yom Lamed Aleph was on Shabbos, they didn't know what to do, because you should have looked in Shulchan Aruch to see what you did. They didn't know what to do. So the Baal Batim made the Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. They probably gave something other than money. Give Shabbat Kesef, it was also good money, is Muktzah. So one of the Dayan and Paskin, they're not Yoytze, even B'Dieva, they have to repeat the Pidyon HaBen after Shabbos is over with a bracha. They weren't Yotze. So the Beis Aharon writes, that's ridiculous. And it's not so compelling what the Trumas Adeshin said in the first place, that you're not allowed to do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. Trumas Adeshin gives two different reasons. They're both questionable. So it's not so poshut. Why don't we do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos? Don't give money, give something else instead. But that's the minig. You don't do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. So if you look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Nechai Adam, they have two versions. When do you do the Pidyon HaBen? Do you do it on Matzoi Shabbos at night, first available opportunity, or do you stick to this minig? You don't do Pidyon HaBen Balayla, you wait till Sunday morning. The Pidyon HaBen really should have been on Shabbos. So it's bad enough that we postponed it, we didn't do it Bizmanoi, some Rishonim hold Beferish, that just like there's a Mila Bizman, Mila Shaloi Bizmano, Mila Bizmano is Decha Shabbos, Mila Shaloi Bizmano is not Decha Shabbos, even a Sofik Mila Shaloi Bizmano. Mishnah says it's not Decha Shabbos. So some Rishonim hold Beferish, from the Goyim, from the days of the Goyim, that just like there's a difference, Mila Bizman and Mila Shaloi Bizmano, Pidyon HaBen Bizmano is not merely Zvizim Akdim Le Mitzvahs, it's a deeper Kiyum. It's the mitzvah b'shalei Musa is when you do Pidyon HaBen on the Yom Lamed Aleph. On Yom Lamed Beis is Shaloi Bizman. Some of the Rishonim, the Ramban quotes this. And there's a Sefer HaKiddushin, Shita Lo Noda Lami. He quotes this all, this Shita also, what the Rabban quotes in Hilchas Pchairis, that when you do, when you pay the Yor, if I was Magdish something, and I'm paid it, I'm Maisev Chaimish. If I'm a farmer, and I'm paid my own Maisev Sheni, I have to be Maisev Chaimish, a Pasuk in Chumash. So these Rishonim Goinim came up with an Einfall. If I'm making pidyon haben on my baby, it's my baby, then I have to be Moisev Chaimish. But it says in the Chumash, you give 5 sloim. So he said, that's if you do pidyon haben bizmanoi. But if you do shaloi bizmanoi, pidyon haben shaloi bizmanoi, then you have to be Moisev Chaimish. Chaimish means another 25%. So it's not enough 5 sloim. You got to give another selah and a quarter. In addition to the 5, you have to give Moisev Chaimish means 25% more. We would have called it Moisev Revius, Rova. But in Biblical Hebrew, that's called Chaimish. After you add it on, it'll be 1/5 of the sum total. So it's bad enough that you didn't do the Pinyin Ben Bismano. It should have been done on Shabbos. It's not so compelling what the Truma Sadeshin wrote, that you're not allowed to do Pinyin Ben on Shabbos. So we're going to wait till Sunday. I remember a cousin of mine also had their first child. So they had the Yom Lamed Aleph was on Shabbos, had a Pinyin HaBen on Sunday. And the minig all over is that you do Pinyin HaBen the end of the day. So they did the Pinyin HaBen the end of the day on Sunday. Lo dai, that they didn't do it on Shabbos. They didn't do it on Matzah. They didn't do it on Sunday morning. They did it late in the afternoon, right before the Shkia. That's the Poskim are not happy about that. The Pinchei Tshuva says not happy about that. Zizimak Divin Lemitzim, why don't you do the Pinyin HaBen in the morning? The reason why you don't do, because Beroy Vom Hares Melech. Because people are not going to show up. If you do it Sunday morning, people are not going to show up. A bris, they will come somehow or another. The bris people will show up, even though it's in the morning, you have to go to work. They'll come late. And opinion of them, they won't come. So they're concerned about Beroy Vam Havras Melo. So the Achraidim will point out, if you have a conflict between the two Hidurim, you have a Hidur of Beroy Vam Havras Melo, more people will show up to participate in the opinion of them. In contrast to having the Pidyon HaBen earlier in the day, Tzviz Makdim LeMitzvah, which one takes precedence? Which of the two Hidurim should be chosen? So it's a Beferish Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, why do we blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah in the middle of Musaf? Why don't we blow Shofar in the middle of Shacharis? When you blow Shofar when you say Malchus Kleine Shofars. Why did we decide to say Malchus Kleine Shofars in Musaf? We should have said it. In Shacharis. So the Gemara says in the early generations they did say in Shacharis. Then they changed it. Why'd they change it? So the Gemara says, if you're going to say that when they're davening Shacharis on Rosh Hashanah morning, Hip to Shul is empty, and the people are going to, that's the Maisa Shoy, and days of the Tanim, Hip to Shul was empty, and the people are going to show up by Musaf, people come in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. That's why they introduced it, because Beroy Vam Hadas Melech. Morris said that's wrong, because Riz Makdim in the Mitzvah takes precedence to Beroy Vam Hadas Melech. So we should really do the Tkiyah Shofar in the middle of Shacharis, because Riz Makdim takes precedence to Beroy Vam Hadas Melech. So why did they switch it to Musaf? Morris says, no, because Gzeres Hashman. There was a whole historical background. But you see from that Gemara, whenever you have a conflict between the two Hidurim of Riz Makdim or Beroy Vam Hadas Melech, you should choose the Zviz Magdim in the Mitzvah. So really, the Achreinim on the page in the Shulchan Aruch Hasim Shin Henyo, they're very unhappy about the common practice that you do Pidyon HaBen late in the afternoon, because you expect more people will show up. They'll come at the end of the day of work, going to work, the people will show up. More correct is to do Pidyon HaBen in the morning. And some Achreinim say, just like there's a Mishnah, that you're not allowed to eat before you do an Atilas Lulav. The Mishnah says if he didn't have lulav, he didn't have dalin minim, he has no choice, so he's eating. Then in the middle of the meal, they brought him a lulav. So it's a discussion in the Mishnah. Should he be mopsik in the middle of the meal, or can he wait another 25 minutes till he finishes eating the meal? But you see, you're not supposed to eat before Tkir Shofar. You're not supposed to eat before a mitzvah, Shezban Oiveris. So that's what some Acharim say. The Avi HaBen is not allowed to eat before he does the Pidyon HaBen. So if you're going to do the Pidyon HaBen 6 o'clock in the evening, let's say 7 o'clock in the middle of the summer, the Shkia is late, and the minute you do the end of the day, so he's supposed to fast the whole day. Some Achreinim say that's the reason why the Chosin Kala fast, because they're about to do a mitzvah today, and you're not allowed to eat before you do the mitzvah. That's the reason why they fast. Some Achareinim have like that. They have a whole bunch of reasons why the Chosen Kal fast. So that's one of the reasons. In this week's Seder, we have the Parsha HaChodesh HaZalachem, the first Rashi al-Torah, and Parshas Bereshis quotes from the Medrash. The Torah should have really begun from HaChodesh HaZalachem. That was the first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people. The mitzvah Mila was given to Avraham Avinu, and Gidonoshe was given to Yankov, okay, and Peru Revu is mentioned. But the first, when the Torah begins with HaChodesh HaZalachem, that's why Rashi discussed what exactly is the mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZalachem. So the Poshe Pshata with the Poshe HaChodesh HaZalachem, the HaChodesh Nisan is the first month, HaChodesh HaRishon. In the Chumash, the months don't have names. That was introduced later. Shmos Chodosh Mehalim Mohim Mi Bovel. When they came back from Golas Bovel, so they picked up this idea to have names of the months. Some of the names of the Jewish months are the same on the... There used to be a shoemaker a few blocks away over here. I used to bring my shoes there. So he used to have, I don't know what nationality he belonged to. He used to have a calendar. It wasn't a Jewish calendar, some Goyish calendar. And some of the months were the same names. Tammuz was the same, and Elul was the same. Maybe another one or two had the same names that we have. So the Gemara said, the Yerushalmi says, Shmos Chadosh Mehalim Mehalim Mehbavim. So some take that as an indication that there was always assimilation, that the Jews were always picking up things from the Nochrim, from Avodah Zarah. Elul means, Tammuz is the name of Avodah Zarah. Elul means Elil, an idol. So the Jews were always picking up Goyish things and introducing them into the religion. The Ramban al HaTorah doesn't think like that. Ramban al HaTorah says, why did they change it? Why did they do Shmos Chodosh Mehalim Mehalim Mehbavim? Because just like there was a mitzvah to incorporate the geula from the first Golos Mitzrayim into the Luach, that Nisan should be HaChodesh HaRishon, so to the Chachamim in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, the Chachamim felt that you should incorporate the Zechet to the geula from Golos Bavel into the Luach. So that's Shmos Chodosh Mehalim Mehalim Mehbavim. We should incorporate that geula also into the Luach. There's a discussion. The Rambam listed off the 13 Ikari Hamuna. So the Rambam has one of the Ikari Hamuna. That's the, in our generation, every generation, there more emphasis is placed on one or another of the Ikari Hamuna. So in our generation, the main emphasis is on that Ikar. That the laws of the Torah are immutable, they never change. The other brands of Judaism, the Reform and the Conservative, they say you can change all the dinim. And that's the insistence of the Orthodox, that you can't change any dinim. So, Rabbi Yosef Albo lived after the Rambam. He wrote Sefer HaYikarim. He disagrees with the Rambam. He said that basically there are only three Ikari Amuna, and the others are details. The three Ikari Hamuna are Malchus, Zechariah, and Shofars. Each one represents a different Iker. And he says about what the Rambam wrote, it's not true. He says, they changed it. That it used to be HaChodesh HaRishon and HaChodesh HaSheni, and then they changed it. It's highly questionable, did they really change it? Did they really change it? Or they Pesach falls out the HaChodesh HaRishon. Doesn't fall out in Nisan. Alpidin, we have the both systems running at the same time. It's questionable. Okay, you have to work out the details. Questionable. When you have a Shana Muberis, it's a Shana. When did the children become Bar Mitzvah? When we give the names, are the Rishon or the Shen, is that relevant with respect to real Dinim Deraisa? Only relevant for Dinim Derabanan. We celebrate Purim. Purim is 4 days. Yudalat Hezvav are the Rishon, Yudalat Hezvav are the Sheni. Purim is a din derabbanan, so they made the takana Purim should be Yudalad and Tezvav of other. So the Rishon and the Sheni, they're both other. But maybe with respect to dinim deraisa, we just ignore the names of the months. We just follow the dinim of the numbers of the months. So this will be relevant for Bar Mitzvah also. We'll talk about it some other time. So that's the Pashup Shah Chodesh Alehem Rosh Chodoshim, that Chodesh Nisan is the first month. Some of the Achrayim had the Maram Shik, and others that had a Kpeda. A lot of people, when you write a check, so you write 1/26/23, January 26, 1923. So some are not happy if you're going to write 2023. So some are makpid. What are you counting? 2023 since the birth of Osa Hoish? So that's Avodah Zarah. So you shouldn't write 2023. You should just write an apostrophe 23. You shouldn't write the whole number because that's as if you're alluding to Osa Hoish. And others are makbed, you shouldn't write 1:26 because 1 achodesh alachem rosh chodoshim is nissen. How can you give the cover of number 1 to January? It's supposed to be to nissen. So some achrayim have, you look in the dark and tshuva and you're a day. Some of the achrayim have on when it says you're not allowed to mention shem avod izara in the shulchan aruch, shmosel amachem lo saskiru, lo sham apicha. So the dark and tshuva quotes there, the Maram Shik, about the 23 and about the 1. If you look in Shuvas Rabbi Kivegi, how sometimes Gvia Seidus from an Aguna, the husband is missing, they think they have the dead body, they're trying to identify where's the husband. So he says the Gvia Seidus was 1:13, and he gives you the date. Rabbi Kivegi wrote like that, 1. So if the Holy Tzaddik Rabbi Kivegi did, it can't be that much of an issue. It's a question. The question. Others insist you have to write January, J-A-N. Shouldn't you write 1? What is, yeah, so the Pshutu Shal Mikra, Chodesh Alachem Rosh Chodoshim, Chodesh Nisan is the first month. The Torah Shabbal Peh has an additional level of interpretation in the Posek, which the Tzedukim never accepted. It's Man Bai Sheni, the Tzedukim rejected the Torah Shabbal Peh. So that's the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Haria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe the Aharon, that's a bezn of two, the Barein bezn shokel, so there must have been a third person there. He told them, HaKadosh Hazeh Elohim, when you see the Levana, the size that it is right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this nevuah when they saw the moon, then you declare it as Rosh Chodesh, that's Kiddush HaKadosh Al Pi Hariyah. And the Mishnah is recorded in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that Bizman Bai Sheni, the Tzedukim didn't believe in Kiddush Al Pi Hariyah, and they tried to foul up the whole Kiddush HaChodesh system. They would come and give false testimony that they saw the moon, even though they didn't see the moon. So then the Chachamim instituted a policy that they're not going to accept testimony from anyone who comes to say, I saw the new moon, unless they know him personally, unless they know that he's an Orthodox person. If they don't know, they would be concerned maybe he's from the Kat HaTzdukim, and they're lying in order to give, in order to make their day that they think should be Rosh Chodesh. So they wouldn't accept Kabbalah, they wouldn't accept Eidus from a person if they wouldn't know who he was. They would insist that two Eidim have to come to, two Eidim that the Bez knows should come and testify that he's Orthodox, that he's not trying to foul up the system. That we spoke about, why do you need two Eidim to say on a Hechsher Agavra, that the Avnei Nezer quotes the Ritva, that whenever Chal Hashem on Agavra, it's considered like Dov Shebi'erva. So sometimes they used to have a secret code, and only the Orthodox Jews would know the code. So the Gemara record, and whoever knew the code, if he would say the code, said then the Bezin would accept his Eidim, even though they didn't know who he was. And then they had to change the code. Once the Tzedukim caught on, and they found out what the secret code was, then they changed the code. So the Gemara says, on one occasion, the code was, Davim Malchisor Chai Bekayim. So when the Eidim would come, and they say, Davim Malchisor Chai Bekayim, the Bezin would know that they were Orthodox Jews. So that's probably, Rav Soloveitchik suggested, that's probably the reason why when we recite Kiddush Levana, so the meaning is that you say, Davim Malchisor Chai Bekayim, then they say, Shalom Aleichem, to three different people. That's zecher to the fact that the Bezin wouldn't greet the Eidim unless they knew the code. So once he said the code, then the three members of the Bezin say, okay, Shalom Aleichem, now we're ready to start business. We'll meet the Kabbalatis. That is not the minig that's recorded in the Shulchan Aruch, though. Shulchan Aruch says, you say to the same person three times, Shalom Aleichem. The minig Olam is that you say to three different people. So Rav Soloveitchik's minig was the way the Soloveitchik family, they all do like that, apparently, that they say Shalom Aleichem three times to the same person. That's the way it says in the Ramah. But the Minhag Olam is to three different people. So Rav Soloveitchik said that's probably the reason why, that the Bezin wouldn't, the three members of the Bezin wouldn't say Shalom Aleichem until the fellow would say what the code is. So this is the Parsha HaChodesh Aleichem Rosh Chodoshim. What is included in this mitzvah? So the Rambam's opinion in Sefer HaMitzvah is that it has two parts to it, Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibar HaShana. They should both be done by the Bezdin. The Rambam's opinion is they should both be done by the Bezdin HaGadol. You don't need the Bezdin HaGadol. The Bezdin HaGadol should authorize three people to have smicha. The three people don't have to be members of the Bezdin HaGadol. They have to have smicha. The Bezdin HaGadol, the Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibar HaShana has to be done under the auspices of the Bezdin HaGadol. Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. He says, how can you say that? The Rambam himself quotes from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that till the days of Abai V'Rava lived in Bavel, so they didn't have any smicha. You can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael. We fly back and forth all the time to Eretz Yisrael, but the Amoraim couldn't afford that. Whoever lived in Bavel. They weren't flying back and forth. So they never had smicha. They were reverends. They were never rabbis. Tosis points out this. Rebbe Ami and Rebbe Asi are two people, and Rav Ami and Rav Asi were another two people. Tosis quotes, Rav Ami, he was a reverend because he didn't have smicha, he lived in Bavel. Rebbe Ami and Rebbe Asi both had smicha, they were Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan because they lived in Eretz Yisrael, so they got smicha. So Abai and Rava didn't have any smicha. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, till the middle of the days of Abai and Rava, in the middle of their lifetime, that's when their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael, the Bezdin, Asmuchim, and Eretz Yisrael instituted the Luach Kavua that we follow today. So how can it, until the days of Abai and Rava, they still did Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Hariyah, until they decided the Smuchim are going to disappear, and the Goyishe governments were making Gzeiros against the Jews, so they won't be able to make Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibar HaShana. So they set down the whole, they fixed the whole calendar the way we know 2,000 years in advance. When Rosh Chodesh is going to be, when Rosh Hashanah is going to be. But until the days of Abai V'Rava, they still had Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Hariyah. According to the Rambam, the Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Hariyah has to be done under the auspices of Bezdin HaGadol. There was no Bezdin HaGadol. Like Mar says, 40 years before the Churban Abayis. Churban Baisheni was the year 70, 69, 70, whatever. So 40 years before that, the Bezdin HaGadol went into self-imposed exile. And they no longer had the din of Bezdin HaGadol because the Gemara learns out from a pasuk, it comes to by Elisa Lamakam Alamed Shamakam Gorim. If the Bezdin HaGadol is not sitting in the Lishkas HaGazis, they're not meeting in the Beis HaMikdash. They don't have the status of Bezdin HaGadol. So that's the Ramban's taina. How can the Rambam say that you need Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Hariyah and Ibar HaShanah has to be done by Bezdin HaGadol? But there was no Bezdin HaGadol after the Chub, 40 years before the Chub, there was no more Bezdin HaGadol. Apparently, so the Noisa Kelim on the Sefer HaMitzvah, where this Ramban asked the Kasha, Noisa Kelim on the Sefer HaMitzvah said, apparently the Rambam thinks that that din, Malam Shamakim Garm, is only relevant for Zok and Mamre and for din in the Foshus. But for all other intents and purposes, you can still have a Bezdin HaGadol. They had a Bezdin HaGadol, according to the Rambam, till the days of Abai Barava. Chiddush. The Ramban agrees with the Rambam that it's not Derech Eretz. If you have a Bezdin HaGadol, who are paskening from all of Klal Yisrael, so three rabbis who happen to have smicha, Rabbi Tam, Rabbi Dick, and Rabbi Harry, they're going to make a Bezdin, they're going to decide today's Rosh Chodesh. Who are you? Me, Samcha. You're deciding when Rosh Chodesh, and they get to all the Jews all over the world. So the Rabban agrees, Bizman Sheyesh Bezdin HaGadol, Derech Eretz dictates you should let the Bezdin HaGadol decide. It's a psak that's neged to all of Klal Yisrael. But he says if the wise guys, if the three rabbis, Tom, Dick, and Harry, if they convened and they declared Rosh Chodesh, it'll be Rosh Chodesh. Kol HaKadim Zoch. He thinks that the Mikra Adin, you don't need Bezdin HaGadol. The Rambam holds that these are both parts of the same mitzvah, Kviyas HaLuach. Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibar HaShanah are both included in this mitzvah. HaChodesh HaZalachem, even HaChodesh HaZalachem goes on looking at the moon and declaring where Rosh Chodesh is, so maybe it should only be on Kiddush HaChodesh. So the Rambam says everything is included. The Ramban points out that he thinks, he gives pshat, the Bahag seems to have counted these two as two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah to do Kiddush HaChodesh and one mitzvah to do Ibar HaShanah. And the Rambam holds that it's two parts of the same mitzvah. Not too significant, but there's one mitzvah, two mitzvahs. We have the pasuk after right after Achoris Avachem. It says the Shmarta Mesamatzos. What do you mean Shmarta Mesamatzos? So Rashi says you need Shima Mechimas. You have to be careful not to let it turn into chametz. But the Torah Shabbat Peh understood more than that. Shmarta Mesamatzos means you have to bake the matzah lishma. To do the Shema, you have to be b'toiras. Let's say, if women would have been exempt from matzitz, it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So women should have been exempt. The Gemara says it's one of the many exceptions to the rule. The Rambam writes in one place, there are more exceptions to the rule than mitzvahs that are covered by the rule over here. Mitzvah says it's my grama that women are mechuyivin. So it's an exception to the rule, despite the fact that it says my grama, women are mechuyiv. If women would have been potter, the women would not have been able to bake the matzahs. All the generations, the matzahs used to be baked by women. Whoever is any b'toris cannot create lishma. That's why anochri, let's say if you have non-Jews baking the matzah and they're screaming, they're doing it for the Jewish people to be yotze the mitzvah, whoever is any b'toris can create lishma. If you have people watching, you know it's not chametz, you're allowed to eat those matzahs that were baked by the nochrim on Pesach. But you can't use those matzahs for Leil HaSeder because you have to have that. It should be baked lishma. A kotna is a labardas. A kotna can't have lishma. So you can't allow ktanim to pour in the water or to do anything that's necessary. In the biographies of the Chazon Ish from years ago, they wrote that the Chazon Ish used to be medaktek to bake the matzahs. And when Rab Chaim Kanievsky was a young boy before bar mitzvah, so they didn't let him participate in the baking of the matzah. He was a kotan before bar mitzvah, but he wanted very much to participate, so they gave him the job. He should scream out, L'shei mitzvah matzah. He should scream out to the others. They should all have in mind, L'shei mitzvah matzah. That was his participation. But a kotan can't create lishma. Then the Rambam lists off the Taryag mitzvahs, Sefer HaMitzvahs LaRambam, in the Mishnah Torah. He has the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ketzorah. Sefer HaMitzvah was written as an introduction. Sefer HaMitzvah was written in Arabic, and those of us who don't know Arabic so well, so we use the Hebrew translation, which is faulty here and there. So that's why over the years they made additional translations. So the Rambam has a policy. When you have a kefil alav, you have a mitzvah is repeated more than once. You only count it once. The mitzvah of wearing tefillin appears in the Chumash in four different parshiyos. Shema v'yam, shema kadesh v'yokir v'yachor. The Rambam only counts Shal Yad as one mitzvah, Shal Rosh as one mitzvah. You don't count it four times. And Avos Hager is mentioned many times. You only count it once. A Kefil HaMitzvah, you only count it once. Other Rishonim, many Rishonim disagree. Many Rishonim disagree. The Gemara says, Ochel Putisa Loika Arba, if you eat a certain bug, you get four times Malkus. Nemola Loika Chomesh, Tzira Loika Sheish. Sometimes you get five times Malkus, sometimes you get six times Malkus. So Rashi, Tosfos, and the Ramban, and all the Goyim, they all said, when you have a lav repeated several times, get several times Malka. And the Rambam is the one who disagrees. He says, if you have a kefil HaMitzvah, you don't get Malka several times. So this is a problem by Bal Yerov, by Motzah. How come the Rambam counts it as two lavim, Bal Yerov, by Motzah? So the Gesa Mishnah talks about it. What Bal Yerov is only violated if you see it. If you put it away in the cabinet, it's hidden, it's only a violation Bal Yimotzah. Something along those lines. But you have to have some distinction between Bal Yerov by Matzah. Otherwise, according to the Rambam, you don't understand. Why did he count it as two different mitzvahs? Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael, Al Yetzish mePesach Beisa Ad Boiker. I remember when I was a little boy, my father was a rabbi, so he used to get a newspaper, I remember it was a monthly or it was a few times a year, JWB Circle, Jewish Welfare Board, had a newspaper. So I remember the middle page was always book reviews. I used to read the book reviews. So I had a book review on the book, The Last of the Just. I think it's Shimon HaTzadik. Was Mishori Knesset Agdala. He's the last of the just. So the book is a historical novel about what it was like in the days of the Beis HaMikdash when everybody came from all over the world to participate in Korban Pesach. and supposed to be based on Josephus. That's when we advertised the books. But so there was a book review written in the JWB circle by a conservative rabbi, I think, who writes, the book is mezuyaf, it's not reliable, because he writes in the book that after they all finished eating the Korban Pesach, then they would all go visit each other. They hadn't seen each other in a year. They said they lived in Arba Kamfas Haaretz, in Eretz Yisrael, Chutzlar. People came from Chutzlar to come to bring Korban Pesach. And they came from all over, and they hadn't seen each other for a year. So they would go visit each other at home. So he says that's against the Pasuk in Chumash. Says in the Torah, Oyetzi Yishman Pesach Beisad Boiker. After you eat the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to leave your house. So obviously, they didn't have that practice to go visit each other at night. So as a child before Bar Mitzvah, I knew that he didn't know what he was talking about. Oyetzi Yishman Pesach Beisad Zahir Rashah. That only applied. The Korban Pesach that they brought in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Pesach Mitzrayim, was a mitzvah the Doris, but certain aspects were only a rasha. Let's say, Mostechem Chagurim, Nalechem, Raglechem, Akelchem, Yetchem, Chaltem Osa Bichipozen. That's only a rasha. That part is not the Doris. It is then also the Mishnah and the Tosefim, Sachm list off which dinim in Parshas Bo were a rasha, which dinim were the Doris. So this Al Yetzin Pesach, that was only a rasha. Why was it such a rasha? So I thought I had came up with a fantastic chiddush, and then I saw it appears in many svarim, and it's based on a tosefta. There is a din, usually there is a din of lino. When a person is a bala carbon, when a person, let's say a person brings a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, so the din is, if he comes in person to Yerushalayim, he has to sleep over overnight. The day on which he brings a carbon is considered like a yontif, and he has to stay overnight. He's not allowed to leave the same day. That's lina. That's the din of lina. Why does he have to stay in Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is the mokam hakrovas hakarbonus. So I thought, al yetzayish mepesach beset. That's what I found in several svarim. They say it appears in a tosefta. Seems like that. I thought this is midin lina. That the krovim, there was no mizbeach at that time. So where they do this, because hadam hashtem zuzas v'adam hashkof, it says in the Chumash. That was the Hirasha. Whether there was Haktoris Emurim, the Chumash doesn't say there was no Mizbech, so what are you going to do Haktoris Emurim? So the Gemara discusses, maybe they made a fire, maybe they burnt Emurim, maybe they ate the Emurim. That's a discussion in the Gemara. What's with Haktoris Emurim? But Al Yetzish and Pesach Beisah perhaps was a din of Lina, that the Makam Hakrava was not the whole city, not like in the days of Beis HaMikdash. Yerushalayim was the Makam Hakrava, and there's a din. Everyone has to stay overnight. They can't leave. You have to have lina. It's torn lina. So that's the suggestion that I had, that since the Korban Pesach had the Zvika Saddam, Ashtem Zuzus, Valamashkev in each home, so each home was considered the Makam HaKrova. I remember once Rav Soloveitchik always used to give a Yortzeit Shir on Gimel Shvat. The chassan who got married last night said he was going to say over one of the Yortzeit Roshes, but the Yortzeit Rosh would take him 2 hours to say over, so he was kind to us. So he said a shorter, he said a longer Torah, but it's shorter than the Yortzeit Rosh. So I remember one Rav Soloveitchik, on one occasion, he stayed over in New York because he was going to give the Yortzeit Shia on Matzoi Shabbos. Usually he went back to Boston. He rarely stayed over in New York. One occasion he stayed, and it was Parsha's boy. So he was speaking about on Shabbos afternoon. He gave a shiur on Chumash. He spoke about the parshas. At that time, the nations of the world, after the First World War, divided up a lot of countries. So France got a lot of countries. France got Algeria, I think. And England got Eretz Israel. Yeah, each country got a lot of areas. So then when they were freeing the people in the country, they were no longer held by the French and by the British and so on. So many of the people, it was a b'china eved ki imlech. So part of what a lot of them did was to kill when they were just freed, to kill the people who used to balabatava over them. The Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam said a din al yechis mpescha beisa ad boiker, and in the morning right away they were whisked away and they left Mitzrayim, so they didn't have a chance to take the kama like Eved Kimel. They didn't have a chance to take the kama from the former masters. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Maybe that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam gave such a hirashah that the Jews shouldn't have an opportunity to take the kama from the Mitzrayim. Whatever. So hirashah, it's not a din l'doris at all. The Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Hisbadishva, has a fascinating comment on the Pasuk when it says that the Jewish people followed the instructions of Moshe Rabbeinu, they brought a Korban Pesach. So it says, also kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe. Then it says, Moshe Rabbeinu told them they should knock on the next door neighbor's doors to ask for matanis. So there it says, Bnei Yisrael also kidvar Moshe. Why is it a difference in Lashon? How come over here it says kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe, there it says kidvar Moshe? So he explains that Rashi says on the Pasuk in the first line in Parshas Tzav, in Lashon Tzav, Lashon Ziris Miyadu L'Doros. The word mitzvah is a technical term that means an obligation that's noyig L'Doros. If it's a Rasha, you don't use the Lashon mitzvah. So the Korban Pesach was a din L'Doros. There's certain aspects of the Pesach Mitzrayim were a Rasha, but in principle, the Korban Pesach is a din L'Doros. So that by the Korban Pesach says, Bnei Yisrael also, kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe. But with respect to Bizas Mitzrayim, to ask the Nochrim, the next door neighbors, for Matonis before they leave, that's not a din l'doros. That was once in the history of the world, HaRosha, so that's a Bnei Yisrael also, kidvar Moshe. You can't call it kasha tziva Hashem es Moshe, because it's not a mitzvah. Mitzvah, the term mitzvah only applies if it's noig l'doros. Then the Torah has all the details of Korban Pesach. Called Oral lo yochol bo, called Benecho lo yochol bo. An Oral is not allowed to eat, and a Nochri, a Benecho, is not allowed to eat. So Rashi quotes a question from the Tanoim, from the Mechilta, it's in the Gemara also. Every Nochri probably is an Oral. So what do you need a Pasuk called Benecho lo yochol bo? Every Nochri is an Oral. So Rashi answers, once in a while you have a Nochri who had a surgical circumcision done. He didn't do it l'shem mitzvah. He's not an oral. So then you need a pasuk called Banecho le'yochol bo. So this, the way Rashi says in Chumash, is a little bit inaccurate, because the Gemara has a din that a Nochri, even if he's had a circumcision, is still called an oral. The only time the Nochri is not called an oral if he had a circumcision l'shem gerus. But if he didn't have the shenga, just that for medical reasons, they did a circumcision, Alpidin is still considered an oral. Benecher includes not only a non-Jew, Benecher includes, Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Mishan Estakra Maisav La'aviv Shabashamayim, a Jew who worships Avodah Zarah, a Jew who is a Mumal Avodah Zarah. The Chafetz Chaim has an imitation riff. The riff only wrote on the Sichtas of Neger La'alocha. On Kochim, the Rif didn't write. So the Chavetz Chaim wrote, it's called Likutei Halachas. He didn't want to call it Halachas. The Rif is called Hilchas Harav Alphas, Halachas. So he didn't want to give it the same name. So he called it Likutei Halachas. And then he has Zevach Toida. He has Chidushim on the bottom of the page, Halacha Lamaisa, on the Dinam of Karbonis. He was hoping that Mashiach is going to come any day and we'll rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. Bring Karbonis. You have to have a Psak, Sefer Psak. So he has interesting Chidushim. There's a chiddush that a mechal Shabbos befarhestia is dina ka'ovid avodah zarah, so you're not allowed to give korban pesach to one who's mechal Shabbos befarhestia. So Rav Soloveitchik said that his father was not so convinced that that is correct. Mishnah Berurah has the same regarding duchening. That a kohen who worships Avodah Zarah, whoever worshipped Avodah Zarah, and not allowed to duchen, and according to Machal Shabbos Fasu, also Dina Kohen, but is not allowed to duchen. So he thought, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought that that was highly questionable. These two, the Mishnah Berurah with the Likutei Halachos, he thought it was highly questionable. That's in Mumras HaGavra, there's such a din. Mumalachal Shabbos befeheset dinikayved avid zari is considered mumalachal tarakula. But as far as mos lagavaya, maybe avid zari is much more mos than chilul Shabbos befeheset. So he thought there wasn't muchrach at all, not by the duchening. He thought the machal Shabbos befeheset, we should encourage them to the duchen, and he thought the same by the korban pesach also. There is a machloikis in Rishonim. This din of Benecha Mishan is not a ma'aser lovim shabashamayim. A Jew who worships Avodah Zarah, we're not allowed to meet from the Korban Pesach. What if he did tshuva? He used to be an Avodah Zarah, then he did tshuva, now he's a regular Jew. So Tosfos assumes a davar pashut on chav chesam and beis and psochim. Tosfos assumes a davar pashut. Once he does tshuva, he's not called a Benecha anymore. But the Miri quotes Chachma Ador Shalafanenu, whoever that is. The Miri always gives nicknames to everybody. Gedolei Rabbanim, Gedolei HaMechabrim, Gedolei HaMefarshim, Gedolei HaMasigim, so on. So he has Chachma Ador Shalafanenu. Sometimes it means the Ramban. They're not sure who he means. So he says there was an opinion in the days of the Rishonim that a Jew who worshipped Avodah Zarah can never eat Korban Pesach for the rest of his life, even if he's Chayzer B'Tshuva. So then he has the kasha, but the pasuk says in Terei Sedra, "Chiyorgu itchem ger ledorasech miyosa pesach l'Hashem." A gershon is geyer, participates in korban pesach, but the gershon is geyer probably worshipped Avodah Zarah before he converted. So why don't we passel him for the rest of his life for participating in korban pesach? So he said the answer is gershon is geyer kuhat nishan al adami, and this is the mocker. That's what the Chasam Sefer in the Chidush of Masechas Avodah Zarah raises the question, where did the Tanoim get this wild idea, Gershon has got cut in Shonol Adami, that the Ger is allowed to marry his sister in HaTorah, and two brothers in his Gari Akosha Laedis, because they're not related to each other. How do you come up with such an idea? In Yerusha, Ivanka Trump doesn't Yarshan her father, because she was the guy, her father's a guy. The ger doesn't yarshim his father because Kotin Shonol does not relate anymore. Where did they get such a wild idea? So the Miri claims that based on that pasuk, most of the Rishonim don't agree with that. Most of the Rishonim hold that Kotin Shonol Adami is only meant to get to kurva, that her brother and her sister, men atar, are allowed to marry each other. They're not kroivim zalaze. Two brothers are usually posulators, but two brothers should is gairu, are koshulators, even halacha lemaisa koshulators. Because they're not related to each other. And then Yerusha, if the child was Nizgaira, the father's a millionaire, so the money doesn't go be Yerusha. That's only by craving, but it doesn't mean you wipe off the whole past history of the person. If he owed money to the bank and then he converts and he changes his name, he still has to pay all the money. You don't say Kekotin Shalom, you wipe off the past history. That's the whole thing is a unique sheet to say that even after he does tshuva, even after he does tshuva, he still can't participate. Tosfos holds beferish not so. And then you say, Gershon, the whole thing is a mechudish de kashita. Miri always has, believe it or not. The Tanoim had a machloikis. I think it's in the Tosefta. The Gemara quotes a brisa from the Tosefta. Is milas habe miakebis in Achilas Korban Pesach. The parents want to bring a Korban Pesach and they never did a bris on their baby. So we paskin the Milas Haben is Me'akevis. Same thing, Milas, if you have an Eved Kenayni and you weren't, you own an Eved Kenayni and he wasn't Molbetova, the shame Eved Kenayni. So that prevents the Odon from participating in Korban Pesach. So Gemara, the Babli has a Sofik, what about Orlo Shaloi Bismano? What if it's Erev Pesach and it's time to bring the Korban Pesach and the couple had a baby a few days ago but you don't do the bris till the eighth day? Is that considered to have a baby who's an oral so it prevents the parents from eating Korban Pesach? Or do you say no? Oral Shalab is mana is not considered an oral. So the Yerushalmi says that Oral Shalab is mana is not considered an oral. He's not considered an oral till the eighth day. The Shagazariye writes a Chiddush. He thinks the night before the eighth day, let's say an oral is not allowed to eat the truma. Or if you have shemen shel truma, and the kohen is allowed to use the shemen to shmir on his body. So if you have a baby, and the baby is an oral, So if he's after the 8 days, then he's an oral. So just like you're not allowed to feed truma to an oral, you're not allowed to smear oil on a kohen who happens to be an oral. But if the baby is within the 8 days and the chiyuv milah didn't set in yet, only begins on the 8th day, then the baby, we follow the Rishama Orlu Shlabizmana before the 8th day, not considered an oral. So the Shagasari writes a chiddush that the night of the 8th day, after the 7th day is up, the night of the 8th day, even though he can't perform the bris till the morning, mila balayla is not acceptable, but it already is al pidin the 8th day. So since the chiyuv mila is there, just as man hechsher is only bayom, chiyuv mila is there, he's considered an oral. He has an original chiddush and he bases it on a din in Zvachim in the first parak, a different din about Maisa Behema. So the Rabitzola Petaburger was one of the three most outstanding Talmidim of Rabbi Saul Salanter, Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer. He was the one who popularized the whole Shita Samusar of Rabbi Saul Salanter. He wrote over the Svarim. He wrote over the Drushas, Rabbi Saul Salanter. But he was a great goyin. He has tshuvas pre Yitzchak, very strong tshuvas, very strong in learning. So in the pre Yitzchak, he has an entertaining tshuva. He says the Shagasai must have forgotten. Shagasai writes this as an original chiddush. Says he forgot often the Yerushalmi, the whole idea that he said the whole tzushtel that Maisa Behema and Echnosim Ladir, the night of the 8th day. He said the whole thing is a Yerushalmi, that even though Orla Toch Zmana before the 8th day, the baby's not considered an Orla, but the night of the 8th day, even though you can't be Mekayim the Mitzvah then, the night of the 8th day, the baby is already considered an Orla. The Chiyuv to be Mala baby is Chal on the 8th day, and the 8th day begins Leil, Ayarev Ayvaker. The day begins with sundown, from sundown to sundown, the Jewish calendar. But the Zman Kiyama Mitzvah Zalamayim, but the Chiyav Kemichal Balaylam. The Rambam seems to hold like that. But again, the Korban Pesach, there's a din of Derech Rechoika. If a person is far away from Yerushalayim, that if he would walk from where he is to get to Yerushalayim, he won't arrive unless he's running. Unless he's going by car, unless he's going by camel. But if he's walking at a normal pace, he will not arrive in Yerushalayim in time. So then the Gemara says, even if he has a car, and he does arrive in time, but since he was b'derech rechoka, he can't be makor karbon for him. You have to wait to be makor karbon when he's closer. When is derech rechoka established? So Rashi and Tosfos learn, at chatzoy sayayim. Erev Pesach at Chatzos. He can't bring the Korban Pesach before Chatzos. Ben Abai means after Chatzos. Shout about the first half hour. But the waiting, the first half hour was a real din d'oraisa, din d'rabbon. Pashtut is only a din d'rabbon. There's a stira. Rabbi Kevega points out. In the Gilyan Hashas and the Mishnah Berurah talks about it by davening mincha. You have to wait. You can't daven mincha within the first half hour after chatzos. Is that a din d'oraisa? Is that a real din d'oraisa? Just a gzeira d'rabbanan. May not know when chatzos is. So the shaila is, what if b'di'evit, if a person daven mincha in the first half hour, maybe he's yotze b'di'evit. If the whole thing is only a gzeira shema, maybe he'll by mistake daven before chatzos. L'mikra din, you can bring the tamei shabbein abayim at chatzos, and maybe b'di'evit it should be good. The Korban Pesach also. So the Rashi and Tosfos learned that where are you at Chatzos when the Chiyuv Korban Pesach is Chal? If you were so far away that you will not be able, he's not going to walk. He has a jet. He's going to come in an hour. He's going to come. He's going to leave wherever he is an hour before Pesach, and he's going to arrive in Yerushalayim. But at the time of Chatzos, and then he sends an email to Yerushalayim, they should bring Korban Pesach for him and his family. They're all going to come the last minute. They're going to come by jet an hour before the Shkia. But they bring the Korban Pesach now. They don't bring the Korban Pesach an hour before the Shkia. They bring the Korban Pesach 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. They bring it earlier. And at the time when they bring it, he's b'derech rechoka. So the Gemara says, we pass an even medievit. You're not yotze. So Rashi and Tosfos learned this is a step. This is determined where is the person at Chatzos. At Chatzos, Erev Pesach, that's when the Chiyuv Korban Pesach is Chal. If he were to walk at a decent pace, not walking slowly, not walking too quickly. The Gemara said, what's a decent pace? If we were to walk at a decent pace, would he arrive in Yerushalayim before the Shkia? Because you have to be marked with the Korban Pesach before the Shkia. So that's Derech Rechoika. That's how you determine Derech Rechoika, Derech Rechoika. The Rambam doesn't agree. The Rambam says Derech Rechoika is established that on Eitzach Hama, when the sun rises, you can't bring the Korban Pesach when the sun rises. The Rambam says, but the Chiyuv to bring the Korban Pesach is Chal in the morning when the sun rises. One can argue maybe the Chiyuv is Chal, if it's Chal before, even though you can't be, maybe it should be Chal Leil Yudalit. Maybe it should be Chal Tzeisel Kochom Leil Yudalit. But the Rambam says it's determined in the morning. Yudalit in the morning, Eitzach Hama, is he so far away that if he were to walk to Yerushalayim, he wouldn't make it by Chatzos? Then it's called Derech Rechoika. Rashi and Tosfos said, no, it's determinate. Where is he at Chatzos? If he'll walk at a decent pace, will he arrive in Yerushalayim before the Shkia? So according to the Rambam, it sounds like the Chiyuv to bring the Korban Pesach is Chal in the morning, even though the Zman HaKiyum is not in the morning. The Zman HaKiyum is only after Chatzos. There's such a Rashi, the Mishnah Brura quotes, the Oroch Laner has such a comment on a Rashi in Sukkah. There's a din of dichui in Korbonus. If a person was Magdash a Korban, and then the Mizbeach collapses. They dropped the bomb, and the Mizbech was broken. The Mizbech is only kosher if it's Ravua, has to be a good square. If it doesn't have to be Laman Beisam, Laman Beisam, that's how big it was by Hashem, but it has to be a square. So let's say the enemies dropped a bomb, and the Mizbech was not out of commission for a couple of hours, and then they got people to fix it, 1, 2, 3, shine. So there's a din, since for a couple of hours, for a short period of time, weren't able to be marked with the Karbonus, you can't be marked with the Karbonus even afterwards. We paskan balachayim, there's a machlokes, but the balachayim nidochim, and we paskan balachayim meinim nidochim. Din of dichui only sets in on the Karbon if they did the first avoida, if they did the shchita, or the Karbon mincha, if they did the knitza. There are dollar avoiders by a korban, shchita kabbalah halacha zrika, that a ma'akev, all the others are not me'akev. Haktor semurim is not me'akev. In a korban mincha, there's a long, long rashi at the beginning of the second parak in Soita, that there are dollar avoiders by a mincha that are parallel to the dollar avoiders hadam by the korbanus behema. So if you have a mincha before, a mincha is not balachayim, but the ritva says beginning kiddushin, a mincha before kmitza is the same as a korban before shchita. It only has kedusha aguf lamizbeach. It doesn't have kedushas korban yet. So that's a din. Balechai made in the doch, and the psul of dichu, only said the din of dichu only sets in if it has the full kedushas korban already. So it means a korban after shchita, or the mincha after kmitza. If they did that by the rishayna, has a din of kedushas korban on it. So there's a din of dichu. There's a din of dichu. So the Gemara says that the dinim of dichi only apply when it's already the zman of the carbon. If it's not yet the zman of the carbon, then it doesn't apply. So the Gemara has a suffix whether there's dichi b'mitzvahs. What's an example? So the Gemara has, let's say you have a hadassim. Hadassim are branches that have leaves. The hadassim can have berries growing on them also. So usually, before we come to buy hadassim, the merchants pull off all the berries. They don't want you to see that it has berries. The Mishnah says that if you have more berries, if anovov merubim me'alov, if you have more berries than you have leaves, then the whole hadass is possible. The Mishnah says if you pluck off the berries, it'll be kosher. So why should they show you a puzzle of hadass? So they pull off all the berries before all the customers come. But once in a while, the local fellow here who's a Rebbe in Broi's Yeshiva, so once in a while he'll leave one of the hadassim with the berries to show the people what the Mishnah is talking about. The hadassim can have berries. So the Gemara has a shaila. What if on one of the days of Sukkos, whatever, one of the days of Yontif, Sukkos, you had a hadass and and it developed berries, and you pulled off all the berries, and now it's kosher. Maybe I should say yesh dichei eitzel mitzvahs, just like there's a din of dichei by karbonis. The original pasuk of dichei is only by karbonis. Tosis and Yuma tells you where's the original. But Mar never tells you. Tosis and Yuma tells you where's the original mocker for dichei by karbonis. Mar has an ibay the leiv shita, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a dichei eitzel mitzvahs as well. So when is this man hamitzvah? So Rashi says when Leil Yontif entered, when Sukkot entered Balayla. The zman of the mitzvah is only by yom. If you shake the lulav and the hadas and balayla, you're not yotzi. Only yotzi if you do it by yom. But Rashi apparently thinks of the Orach Laneres. What's Rashi talking about? The zman of mitzvah is leil yomtev. The zman of mitzvah is yomtev by yom. Apparently Rashi thinks that the kedushas hayom of yomtev is mechayev, and the tilas lulav, the kedushas hayom begins at laila. True, the Zman Kima mitzvah is only by Yom, but the Kedusha Siyanta begins by Laila. So that's why the topic of Dichoy depends on Leil Yontif. When Yontif entered, it was a kosher hadas, then it developed berries, it became a pasul hadas, then you remove the berries. It was kosher, v'nifsa, v'chaza, v'nira, v'yiseho, v'nitchi, yidocha, anan. You have cases like that, like this chidush of the Shagas Aryeh. By Bris Mila, he says the chiyuv to do the Bris Mila is Leil Shmini, and the baby is already called an oral. That's not called Orlo Shelo Bisman. But the Zman Kiyum HaMitzvah is only by Yom. It's not a kosher Bris if you do it by Lailo. Sometimes you have Moelim in New York, they agree to do, that's their Parnasa. So let's say if the fellow agreed, or in Eretz Yisrael also they have. So they agreed to do 20 Brisin in the same day. Do only so many hours in the day. So they can't do a bris after the shkia. So some of them are oil and mezalzel, some of them are mekel, they need money. So they'll do a bris bein hashmashes. That's not right. Bein hashmashes, safi gam, safi blayla. After the shkia, we consider ready bein hashmashes, safi gam, safi blayla. Not allowed to do a bris after the shkia. Even if that's your parnasa, you have to do the bris mila, it has to be bayam. So those moilim who run from one bris to the other, to the other, to the other, they have to run a little faster. And they have to finish doing all the brisin of the day before the sun sets. Now, Soloveitchik pointed out that such a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Gimel, I think it's Nafchof and Beis, Gimel mitzvahs, Ditztabi Yisrael bichnisosam la'oretz. It's the first line in the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim. Gimel mitzvahs, Ditztabi Yisrael bichnisosam la'oretz. When the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they became obligated to observe three mitzvahs in the following order. First mitzvah, Lahamid Lahem Melech. Second mitzvah, Lahachri Zarashal Amolek. You have to have a government that should sponsor the war. Not Stam. Yechidim are going to go kill all the Amalek. You have to have Lahamid Lahem Melech, then Lahachri Zarashal Amolek, and then Livnes Lahem Beis HaBchir. Because it says you only have the mitzvah to build the Beis HaBchir, Beis HaMikdosh. When it'll be peaceful in Eretz Yisrael and the enemy won't be tumbling anymore. So what do you mean, Gimel and Stab Bichnisasim Laaretz? When they entered Eretz on the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they became obligated to do all three. No, you can't do two before one. You can't do three before two. You can't do one either. Laham Lamelech is only if there's a Bakoshas HaTzibur. That's what the Nitziv points out. Why did they wait so long till the days of Shoal to appoint them out? Why did they, if it's a mitzvah, one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Why they wait so long? So the Nitziv explains it. Because in the Pasuk in Chumash it says, when the people of Amart asim alai melech k'chol agayim asher svi voisai, then it says, some tosim alach melech, when there's bakoshas atzibur, when the tzibur requests a melech. They didn't request, they didn't think they needed a melech to the days of Shmuel HaNavi. Then he was very upset. What's wrong with me? You don't like me as a shofet. What do you need a melech for? And he read him the riot act, and he gave them parshas HaMelech. You don't want a Melech. Melech is going to levy taxes, he's going to take your daughters as pilakshim, he's going to make them cook for him, he's going to draft your children and your sons into the army. He tells them all the evils of the Melech. He tries to dissuade them from having a Melech. Why do you try to dissuade them if it's a mitzvah? The answer is the mitzvah is only obligatory if there's bakoshas HaTzibur. So Shmuel was trying to convince him it's not a smart idea, they shouldn't have. But nonetheless, the Gemara says, Gimel mitzvah, Nistab bichnisos, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, they became obligated to observe these mitzvahs if the other conditions will be fulfilled. So you see, you can have a chiyuv to do a mitzvah now, even though there's not yet a zman kiyum mitzvah. That's like the Chagas Aryeh. Leil Shmini, there's already a chiyuv to be mala baby. And Leil Sukkos, there's a chiyuv to be noitel dalad minim, even though if you do the mitzvah balal, you won't be yotze. But the chiyuv is chal balaylo. The Torah has the special dinim of tefillin. It says you have to put tefillin shel yad first, then tefillin shel rosh. There's a machlokes rishonim, whether tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh is counted as one mitzvah, two mitzvahs. The Rambam thinks they're two different mitzvahs because they're not miakvim zeh zeh. That's the Rambam's haychocha. He says dala minim shebelulav miakvim zeh zeh. So that's an indication that it's one mitzvah. And tkiya trua tkiya is miakvim zeh zeh. So that's all one mitzvah. But shel yad and shel rosh mishnas are not miakvim zeh zeh. So the Rambam thinks that that's a haychocha that it's two mitzvahs. Tchelis and Lovan, the Rambam says, are not miakvim zeh zeh. If you have tzitzis with only tchelis and tzitzis with only Lovan, you yotze an incomplete mitzvah, but he counts them as one mitzvah. So that's a kasha that Rav Daniel HaBavli asked. That Rav Daniel was a dayan in Baghdad after the p'tir of the Rambam. He corresponded with the Rabbein Avram ben Rambam. Most of the correspondence was about different things in the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaRambam. Some of the things were about things in the Yad HaChazaka and the Mishnah Torah, but most of the issues that he corresponded with him were on the Sefer HaMitzvah. So this is one of the things that he sent. The Rambam says the klal is whenever the miakvim zezeh, then it's one mitzvah. Whenever they're not miakvim zezeh, it's two mitzvahs. So tchelus and lovin should have been two mitzvahs. Rabbi Avram says no, it's one mitzvah. Mitzvah bishleim musa, mitzvah shalom bishleim musa. The Sefer is called Maisa Nisim. Rav Soloveitcher used to quote it every so often. From the Sefer Maisa Nisim, the correspondence between Rav Daniel Hadayan, maybe from Baghdad, Rav Daniel HaBavli, and Rabbi Avram ben Aram, who lived in Egypt. Rav Soloveitcher, whenever he would quote from this Sefer, he would say he doesn't know why they called it Maisa Nisim. He never saw any Nisim in the floors there. On the first page, they tell you why it's called. Mr. Nisim paid for the printing of the book. Mr. Nisim lived in Paris in the 1800s when they had the manuscript, and he paid for the printing of the book, so it's called Maaseh Nisim. So they actually never looked at the introductions, they never looked at the title page, they just looked in the Sefer. They didn't understand why it's called Maaseh Nisim. So the Parsha has about the putting Shal Yad, V'hoyelios al Yadcho. Almost the next to the last pasuk in Parshas Bo'i, Yodcha is spelled Yud Dalet Chafei. So the Gemara has three Tanoim all saying the same thing, that you have to put the tefillin on the left arm. If a person is right, he puts the tefillin on the left arm. But they have three different reasons for it. The one side it says, because Yodcha Yud Dalet Chafei means Yad Keho, on the weaker arm. But if a fellow is a lefty and the right arm is the weaker arm, then he has to put the tefillin on the right arm. That's one Tana. The other Tana says, it says, Kshatim lo'osa yadecho, chsaftim amazuzet beisecho v'sherecho, smuchim, two psukim, one next to the other, and it's in Chumash Dvarim. So the Gemara says, in Yivam Zafei, there's a machlokes hatanoim. If you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, that's called a hekesh. You assume that there's a connection between the two. If you have two psukim and two adjacent, two dinim and two psukim that are next to each other, adjacent to each other, that's called smuchim. And we only darshan smuchim in Mishnah Torah. So, but this is Mishnah Torah. So this is one of the, there are many, 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 many famous dinim that are based on smuchim and Mishnah Torah. But only Chumash Dvarim. You don't darshan smuchim and the other four chumashim. So the other opinion, the Ramah Paskin, is like this following opinion. It says, Ukshartim lo'osal yadecha, uchsaftim amzuzet beisecha v'sherecha. The same hand that does the writing, uchsaftim amzuzet, if a person is a right, he writes with the right hand, then he should tie the tefillin with the right hand, so that you have to put, you can't put the tefillin on the right arm if you're going to tie the tefillin with the right hand. So obviously put it on the left arm, so the Yad HaKosebes is the hand that's going to be tying the tefillin, so you have to put tefillin on the left arm. So that's a shayla. Let's say the person does everything with the right hand. When he plays ball, when he throws, everything he does with the right hand. When he bangs with the hammer, he does with the right hand. Except for writing. He writes with the left hand. So the Rav Mor Paskins in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Tefillin It all, he passed like that Tan. Everything depends on the Yad HaKosevis. Most of the Achronim don't agree with that, Ramon. That's not the accepted opinion. Mishnah Berurah leaves it the way it is. Appellate Dika Mishnah Berurah. Most of the Achronim don't accept the Ramon. And then there's a third Tana, and the Gemara Menachas, there are three Tanaim. How do you know you like Tulan on the left arm? So one opinion is Yod Decho, Yad Keho. That's the Pasuk in the end of today's Sedra. The other Tana says, Ukshartam Uchsaftam. The arm that does the writing determines that that should be the arm that does the tying of the tefillin, so you put the tefillin on the other arm. And the third opinion is that the word yotcha in Chumash usually means the left hand. Shein. How do we pass on halacha l'maisa? So Rav Soloveitchik was ambidextrous. When he would be teaching sometimes in the yeshiva, he would be teaching, he would start writing a chart on the blackboard. He would start writing Hebrew from right to left with his right hand. Then he would switch the chalk to the left hand. He would continue writing. And the students, our eyes were popping out. What is he doing? He's writing with the right hand and the left hand. He said when he would drive a car, he got a license. He used to drive a car. Then he was thinking and learning, and he crashed into a tree. And he thought the tree wasn't there. They must have put the tree there after so he said when he would drive a car and they'd tell him you have to go three blocks and then turn right and turn left, he wouldn't remember which way is right and which way is left. So I think he said he had to hold his hand and the left hand spells an L, something like that. So he would have to let go of the steering wheel and put his hands like this to figure out which one is right, which one left, because he used to use both hands. So he said, when he was bar mitzvah, he had a shayla, which arm you put tefillin on? So he said, his father said that we paskin like the Mishkan es Yankiv. Mishkan es Yankiv learned in Valojin. He was one of the early Talmidim of Rav Chaim Valojin. And Mishnah Berurah often quotes Mishkan es Yankiv. This one he doesn't quote. Here he just leaves it did like the Ramah. So the Mishkan es Yankiv says there were three opinions in the days of the Tanaim. You always have to follow two out of the three. The Roiv. You're always going to have two out of the three. Is a pasuk at the end of today's seder in connection with the tefillin. In the Mantia Teres Hashem Beficha Kebiyad Chazaka Hotziach Hashem in Mitzrayim. Says the reason for the mitzvah of tefillin, we should remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, because on the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim, all the Ikori Hamunah were demonstrated. So that's the Pasha Peshat in the pasuk. So the Torah Shabbat Peh has an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. When you write the parshios of the tefillin, Torah Hashem should be min amuta beficha. You have to write it on parchment that started off as hide of a kosher animal. If you're going to take the hide of a horse leather, or hide of an elephant, hide of a donkey, a mule, a non-kosher animal, you can't use it to write psukim. You can't use it for the shorosh either, because the shorosh has two shins on it. So that's Torah Hashem beficha. Not only the psukim. But even the shin and the bayis rosh also. But the Gemara says for the ritzuis that you should have been able to use leather from a non-kosher animal. So that, because that there's no psukim there, there's no letters, there's no Torah Hashem Eficha. So for that the Gemara says, Gemiri, we have Rashi translate, Gemiri means Halacha Moshe Mesinai. That's a Rashi and Taisus assume. In addition to the pasuk Torah Hashem Beficha Ben Amuta Beficha, that only applies when you're writing psukim, or you're writing at least a letter, a shin, two shins. But the halacha Moshe Mesinai, Luchshul Malach Hashamayim, goes even when there are no letters. That's what Tosfos Tanya is against Rashi. Rashi says that the Gemara says Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So Rashi says that you have a Yud over here and a Dalet over here and the Shin over here spells out the name of Hashem, one of the seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shin, Dalet, Yud. So Rashi holds that Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshe Mesinai not only means you should have a Kesher, the Tzura of the Yud and the Tzura of the Dalet is part of the Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Tesis Tainas. So then it should be the same as the Shin. That I know that the Bayis Shel Rosh has to be from a kosher animal, the hide has to be converted into leather from a kosher animal. So why is it only needed for the shorosh? It should be needed for the ritzuas also. You should need it for the ritzuas because you have a dalet and a yud. So you see from the Gemara that the dalet and the yud is only made the rabbanon. The halacha Moshe Mizina just means it should be a kesher shel kayama, but it doesn't have to have a tzuris David yud. So that's what years ago when children used to be bar mitzvah, I'm from 100 years ago. So when I was bar mitzvah, so the style was bar mitzvah boy who knew how to learn a little bit would say over a shagazariah, a pilpul from the shagazariah about Hilchas Tefillin. Now the shagazariah is out of style. So now they say a pilpul from the Briska Rav. So Rav Dovid Soloveitchik has, in his sefer, he has a lot of times exactly the same as Rav Soloveitchik said. And this they say exactly the same. Rashi's opinion is, like the Rambam, that it's not a yud, and the shin is a shin. But the yud is a kesher b'tzuras yud, and the dalet is a kesher b'tzuras dalet. That's why it says, v'risa sachorai, ufonai lo yiro. So the Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu erev la Moshe, kesher shel tefillin. Why do you have to show him the kesher tefillin? Tell him, it's supposed to be a dalet. Answer is, it's not a dalet, it's a kesher b'tzuras dalet. That's what Rav Dovid Soloveitchik has. Rav Soloveitchik only said over this part about the kesher shel tefillin. Rav Dovid has said about all the things in the Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated to Moshe Rabbeinu. Chodesh Adachem, why do you have to show him the moon? Just say, when the moon will be visible, you declare as Chodesh. And other things that Moshe Rabbeinu showed when he saw the Shrotzim, Zalachem Atomim, why do you have to demonstrate? Say what the din is. So Rav Dovid Soloveitchik has in his forum, in the Chumash, on the Shulchan, on the Rambam, he has, whenever he showed him, it's a din what it should look like. It's not a din what it really doesn't really depend on what it is, it depends what it looks like. So that's how they defended Rashi. Tosei Estan Rashi, if the Dalet Niyud is the Raisa, so it should be Menamuta Beficha, you have to have Menamuta. The answer is, it's not Teres Hashem, it's not a Dalet, it's not a Yud, it's a Kesher that should look like a Dalet, that should look like a Yud. The Rabbi Natam has a different Shita from Rashi as far as the Seder HaParshios, a question how to read the Gemara. Gemara tells you what the Seder should be of the Dalet Parshios and the Tefillin. So Rabbi Natam holds that you have to have Havayas B'Yemtza. That's his Lashon, Havaya. Havaya usually means Yudke Bavke, so you don't want to pronounce Yudke Bavke. They call it Havaya, Shem Hashem. But here, the Pashtus has nothing to do with Yudke Bavke. It just means you have Shema V'Hoyon Shema Kadesh V'Hoyoki V'Yachas. So V'Hoyoyim Shemaya, V'Hoyoki V'Yachas, those are the two Parshas that are called Havaya, because it begins V'Hoyo. V'Hoyoki V'Yachas V'Hoyoyim Shemaya. So most of the Rishonim assume that you go in order, Kadesh V'Hoyoki V'Yachas, Shema V'Hoyoyim Shemaya. So one Vahaya is the second from the left, and the other one is the fourth from the left. And the Rabbi Natam holds no Kadesh Vayikaviyachos Shema Vahayoyim Shema. So the two Vahayos are in the middle. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that why did the Rabbi Natam come up with this idea? How come Rabbi Natam? So he says it's all based on the Zohar. In the days of the Rabbeinu Tam, they didn't have the Zohar. The Zohar was discovered in the days of the Ramban. I don't know, he has a funny Aruch HaShulchan. So he says, the Zohar says that when Mashiach will come, then you have to wear tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam. You have to switch the Seder HaParshias. So he said, it has something to do with the Havayas B'Emtza, Havaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be recognized by all the nations of the world as Havaya. But the Pashup Shat is, Havayas B'Emtza has nothing to do with Havaya, Shem Yud Kei Bavke. It has to do with Vayom Shemaya. But that's the whole story with the Rabbi Natam. The Seder HaParshios, the Rav Chaim, they quote the name Rav Chaim. There are really four opinions in the Rishonim what the Seder HaParshios should be. And the Shulchan Aruch only recommends you should wear two pairs of tefillin. Why they recommend you should wear all the four pairs of tefillin? Rav Chaim said, if you have a Shal Rosh and you wear it, and you put the bais on backwards, we usually have the Mabarta in the back and the bais is in the front. What if you have the Mabarta in the front and the bias in the back? It'll also be good. The Seder HaParshios will be backwards. It'll be on your head backwards. But as long as it's in the right direction, as long as the four parshas are correct, even if you are wearing the bias backwards, it'll also be good. So that's where they quote the name Rav Chaim. If you wear two pairs of tefillin, so the other two shitas will be included. You're wearing the right pair of tefillin, but the parshas are starting from... You put the bias backwards. The people wear tefillin, the Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam would not wear the tefillin like that. Rabbi Natam has a machloikis with Rashi, not only on Seder HaParshios, he has a machloikis whether you put the parshios into the batim, shochvos or omdos. when you have an Aron Kodesh, do you have the Sifrei Torah standing in an erect position, or are they lying flat? So we always have standing. Abed Tam says, Rachmanis, they're exhausted, they're standing. Century, they're standing. Give them a break. Let them rest like this. More bekovedik should rest. And there's a machleg zrash and abeinu tam. When you put a mezuzah, which way should the mezuzah be? So everybody put the mezuzah up. And abeinu tam holds, no, you put the mezuzah flat. Shochvos, not omdos. It's a shada by the tefillin, shada by the mezuzah, shada by the Aron Kodesh. The Sifrei Torah and the Aron Kodesh. So even those who wear tefillin to abeinu tam don't have it like the abeinu tam. Abeinu tam had the seder ha-parshios. And he had the Parshas Shochvos. They were in a reclining fashion. But we don't, that Rabbeinu Tam, we don't follow at all. We don't do that at all. The Shita Mukubetz is printed on the side of the page, and Menachos points out, because of this, Machleg is Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, whether the mezuzah should be erect or a reclining position. And the Gemara says, if you put a diagonal, then it's kosher. So he says, the minhag is to put a diagonal to satisfy both Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. But in the Aron Kodesh, you can't do that. In the Batim and the Tefillin, you can't do that. So you got to take a stand. The Vilna Gaon, they said, Vilna Gaon never put the mezuzah diagonal. He said, we pass like Rashi, Manoim Aramein, showing that's it. You put the Sifrei Torah straight, and the Aron Kodesh, you put the Parshas and the Tefillin straight, and you put the Parsha and the Mezuzah also straight. Why should you satisfy the Rabbeinu Tam? We don't pass like the Rabbeinu Tam. But that's the minig to do, because the Gemara said, the Gemara quotes a Brice, if it's diagonal, then it is kosher. Okay, these are some of the dinim, and today said it's a lot more dinim. That's what Rashi, the Torah should have begun from Parshas Bayim. We're starting all the dinim. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.